After the COVID, we began talking about why church, because there are a lot of people who've decided not to come back to church, even after the COVID. And I thought it'd be a good idea to talk about why church. Why is church important? And so we've talked about different things that regarding the church, but one of the reasons for church is to create disciples, to make disciples. That's one of the things that the Lord has commanded us to do, is to go and make disciples. Well, last week we talked about marker number one for a disciple is that you need to be forgiven, but you also need to forgive. If you hold unforgiveness in your heart, then you're not going to be a very good disciple, right? That's one of the things Jesus told Peter and the other disciples. So forgiveness is huge on his list. The second thing that we find is that we need to be empowered by the Spirit. Empowered by the Spirit. Now, there's a lot of confusion in Christian circles about the empowerment or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When I was a kid, my dad preached out of the King James Version, and the King James Version said it was the Holy Ghost. Well, as a kid, I was a little frightened about the ghost. Kind of freaked me out. And so it was kind of spooky as a kid. I didn't want to have a lot to do with the Holy Ghost because it was just kind of spooky. Well, the Spirit, you know, new translations call him the Holy Spirit, and I can relate better to a spirit maybe than I can to a ghost. And so I'm able to receive that better. I grew up in a denomination where the baptism or the empowerment of the Holy Spirit was not addressed. And even today, this subject is not addressed very much in some Christian circles. However, it is vital for our ability to be able to do what Christ commands. Have you realized that there are some pretty lofty demands of Jesus? Be ye holy, for I'm holy. Be pure. Be sincere. I mean, there's a lot of lofty commands that he gives. And here's what I know, that it's impossible for me to be able to do and fulfill those lofty commands without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. AA says that you need a power that's larger than yourself to be able to accomplish being alcohol free. I was at years ago, I worked in Louisiana at a hospital, and the fifth floor was the psych ward. And we would go up and we would work in the psych ward, and I remember going by the door of a counselor, and they were talking to someone regarding having a power higher than yourself, and I heard him say, it can be your dog, it can be your doorknob, but you got to have a power higher than yourself. And I'm thinking, if that's the greatest power you got, you're doomed to fail. You're doomed to fail. Now, John the Baptist said this in Luke chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Everyone was expecting the Messiah to come soon, and they were eager to know whether John might be the Messiah. So everyone was expecting the Messiah to come soon. All of the Jewish nation was expecting the Messiah to come soon. Somehow they had this inkling, Jesus is coming. They didn't know his name, but the Messiah is coming. They knew it in their heart, possibly because Daniel had written about it and kind of almost pinpointed the date he was coming, and they probably had studied the prophecies, and the Jewish leaders were probably sharing this information. Well, they thought it was John, because for 400 years, God had been silent. The last known prophet was Malachi. And after Malachi, there was silence. Now, from the time of Abraham to the time of Malachi, there had always been a prophet, somebody talking to the nation about what God's plans were and how they ought to get online and get in sync with what God wanted them to do. Otherwise, there's going to be tremendous difficulty. But for 400 years, there was silence. And then here comes this fellow named John. We call him John the Baptist. Good name. Yeah. So we call him John, and John was doing wonderful works. Not so much that he did not do a miracle. He did not do any healings. He did not do anything except preach Jesus and him coming. Repentance, repentance, repentance. Someone's coming and you need to be ready. So they said, John, are you the Messiah? And John answered their question saying, I baptize you with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I am not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So we understand now that John was talking about Jesus, because it's Jesus who baptizes with the Spirit and with fire. Now the word baptize means to whelm, to cover wholly with a fluid. It means to dip or stain. So if you take a piece of cloth and you dip it to stain it, you immerse it, they would call it baptizo. Okay? If a ship sank, they would call it, that ship was baptized. Okay, that was their word for being totally immersed. And so what this passage of Scripture is saying, John says that there's one coming after me who's going to totally immerse you in the Holy Spirit. He's going to baptize you. He's going to dip you. He's going to overwhelm you with the Holy Spirit. That's what John was saying. So that's one of the reasons, because of the meaning of the word, that's one of the reasons we don't sprinkle. We submerge people in our tank here. And because we want to be honorable to what God's word says. We find that there were 120 people in the upper room after Jesus resurrected, and as they were in the upper room, that the Holy Spirit came and fell upon them, because Jesus had told them, go to Jerusalem and wait until the Holy Spirit comes. They didn't know what the Holy Spirit was. They said, wait until you are baptized with power. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, in Tillamook, in Oregon, and throughout the world. It says, you will receive power. This word power is dunamis, and that's where we get the word dynamite. And God intended us to have power to be able to accomplish the things that he has for us to accomplish. All right. So what is the purpose for empowerment of the Holy Spirit? Gary Thomas writes in his book, Thirsting for God, it is impossible to put a drop of red dye in a glass of water and the water not turn pink. Can you drop one lit match into a pool of gasoline without starting a raging fire? Similarly, can the dynamic presence and power of Christ enter a soul without it affecting a major life change in attitude, action, thought, word, and deed? Of course not. A true Christian will experience true change because the Holy Spirit work in us, giving us the desire and the ability to do the will of God. Look, if you will, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. A lot of people read it's the will of He gives us, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for my good pleasure. And that's not what it said. It's not for your good pleasure. It's for His good pleasure. And a lot of times I think if the Holy Spirit doesn't fulfill my good pleasure, then I don't want to have a part of Him, because we're all about us. Okay? So, it is not possible to live a Christ-like life without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, we will continue in our own will, in our own way, rather than in God's will and God's way. It's impossible to accomplish the works of Christ without the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's impossible on a daily basis to even want to do the will of God without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I want us to look at chapter 8 of Acts. This is an interesting passage of Scripture. And we're going to begin reading in verse 5 because there was a situation that was taking place in Samaria. And I've given this passage much thought, because a lot of times it goes against what I have understood. In Acts chapter 8, verses 15 through 19, we're going to read this passage and then look at some observations regarding the passage. So then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. He preached Christ to them, and the multitudes, say multitudes, with one accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. But there was a certain man of Samaria called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city, and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And they heeded him, because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and he, when he was baptized, continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." This is an interesting passage. And there's several things that we can ascertain through this passage. So number one, multitudes, say multitudes, heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and multitudes received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Okay? Second thing we understand, and because of Paul's letter, not because of Acts, but because of Paul's letter in Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 2, we understand that every believer, the moment they receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit seals them, and the Holy Spirit also indwells them. Okay? And hopefully you know that. When you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're sealed until the day of redemption. When you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within you. He indwells you. There's something that happens to one who receives Christ that is transformational. And it transforms their thoughts. It transforms their words. It transforms their actions. It transforms everything about them. But as we read this passage, we find not that the believers, though they were sealed and indwelled by the Holy Spirit, they were not empowered by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting? It's an interesting passage. Did you know that there are Christians today who are filled and indwelled with but not empowered by the Holy Spirit? Multitudes came. But this passage of Scripture says not one single one of these Samaritans who believed were empowered with the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't until John and Peter. So, John and Peter's back in Jerusalem, and word comes to them, said, multitudes in Samaria have received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And they're thinking, man, let's go check it out. Sounds like a revival's going on. I want to go. So John and Peter makes their trek to Samaria and goes north till they get to Samaria. And when they get there, they find all of these believers, young believers. They're excited about the Lord. They're excited about what God's done in their life. But as they're looking around, not one of them is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Does that cause you some confusion? We've talked before, and if you study Scripture, if you just study the book of Acts, we find that there are Christians who are empowered by the Holy Spirit on the day of their salvation. We also find out that there are Christians who are empowered by the Holy Spirit when others lay hands on them and pray for them. We also discover that sometimes people are empowered by the Holy Spirit when they are baptized. And there are a lot of there are different denominations that are separated because of our understanding of what the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is and how it comes. Okay? So let me ask you a question. Does the empowerment of the Holy Spirit come when you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? It can be. Does the power of the Holy Spirit come on the day that you're baptized? Can be. Does the power of the Holy Spirit come when people pray for you? Laying hands on you? It can be. It's not the same for everybody. And I guess that's what I'm getting at. But see, there's a lot of ineffective Christians. There are a lot of ineffective believers who want to do the right thing. Their desire is to do the right thing, but they don't have the power to do the right thing. Does that make sense? And what the disciples are sharing with us and telling us is, listen, you're never going to be able to do what Christ wants you to do until you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. How many of you have tried to do the Christ-like thing in your flesh? How'd that work for you? Didn't work so good. I have to. You know? Tried a lot of times in my life. So it's the empowerment. You cannot do it without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit as much as you may want to. It's impossible because you don't have the power unless the Holy Spirit comes into your life and empowers you to do it. Does that make sense? You may have the greatest desire in the world, but it's not effective because the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is not on your life. Now, I would say this, and I want to, yeah, I want you to listen. It's not a magic pill you take. Okay? The Holy Spirit's not a magic pill you take and then everything is just wonderful. Fairy dust and pixie dust. It's not that. You work with Him. As you listen to Him, as you move in faith, and as you're obedient to Him, the power comes. So if the Holy Spirit tells you, I want you to go and pray for somebody in the hospital, and He tells you to pray that they be well, and you say, man, I'll go pray for them. I'm going to go to the hospital, but I'm not sure. I'm not going to pray that he be well. I might seem foolish. Okay, but see, working in the power of the Holy Spirit is doing what He says when He says it. In faith, whether you understand it or not. Does that make sense? Okay, so what is the difference between a believer and a Spirit-empowered Christian? There's one difference, and it's power. It's power. So the believer has a desire to live a God-honoring life but does not have the power to change their attitudes or actions. And while a believer may have a desire to live a life pleasing to the Lord, they don't have the power to achieve it. And while a believer may have a desire to accomplish the works of the Lord, they don't have the power to achieve it. They attempt to do it in their own strength and fail more often than not. A Spirit-empowered Christian will listen to what the Spirit says, will step in faith, walking in obedience to the Spirit. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit is given to those who delight in the ways of the Lord and seek to bring Him glory. So, how do you receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? And I want to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit in this manner. I was sharing this with Tom and Renee and Jenny this morning. Jeannie this morning. And so some years ago, we were whitewater rafting on the Deschutes. And there was a fellow with us that was very muscular, weighed probably over 300 pounds, but he's one of these big guys that just, you know, he carries it well, and he's very large. He's taller than I am. But he's just a fantastic fella. And we got out. I don't know if you've ever been on the Deschutes, but there's this place called the Elevators. And people can park their raft and take their life jacket, get on, and go over these elevators, these waves at probably 3 or 4 feet high, and just kind of ride down the Deschutes like this. And one of the things that my son and I enjoy doing is whitewater rafting. And so there was this individual with us, and he was in the elevators, and you've got to get out at a certain time or the current will take you down. And he started to come out, and a little kid swam in front of him, and he quit swimming. And then he was caught in the current. The guy was. And Micah and I saw him, and he was so large that his life jacket came up in the water. So he would start to sink, and it would choke him, and he would have to up. And, of course, you can't swim doing that. Saw him, and we jumped in a raft, and we started to go, and we went after him. Finally caught up to him, and he grabbed a hold of the raft. Well, being as large as he was kind of like the ballast, and we could not paddle over to the bank. It was kind of a scary situation. We tried to pull him in and couldn't get him in. And Micah had this idea. I'm going to jump out on this rock, and I'm going to hold the raft. Well, Micah jumped out on the rock. He grabbed for the raft, and the current took me and this individual down the river. Now, if you know anything about the Deschutes, you've got to take out at a certain place. Because if you don't, just a little while further, there's what's called Shears Falls. It's like a class 6. And there's no record of anyone living who's gone into that. Okay? And so I was kind of like panicking. And I'm like, Lord, help. Because it was takeout time. And if I miss takeout, we're going to get taken out. And it had to get takeout. And so I said, Lord, help me. And so I reached down, and I picked this fellow up and just pulled him into the boat. And I thought afterwards, man, that wasn't as bad as I thought. But I know it wasn't me. That was the Lord helping me. There are some things the Lord has asked us to do that we are incapable of doing on our own. It's an impossibility. It's beyond our physical, mental, emotional ability to do it. But Jesus says, I know you can't do it. That's why I'm going to give you the power, my power, to accomplish these things. Now, how do you receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? The first thing I would suggest is that you confess and repent of every known sin in your life. Are you harboring sin in your life? The Holy Spirit will only fill and empower a holy vessel. So if there's unholiness in your life, the only way to get rid of that is to confess it, repent of it, and turn from it. If you remember the Old Testament, there was a temple, and they would take out things that did not belong there. They would cleanse the temple, and then they would be able to fill them with godly things. Same picture here. The second thing I would suggest to you is that you have pure motives. So what is your motive for receiving the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? Some people like the wonderful feeling you get when the Holy Spirit is present. And all of us have experienced that. When the Holy Spirit is near, I mean, there's this just sweetness. And some people chase that. And they go from one place to another trying to find the sweetness of the Holy Spirit. And maybe that's your motive, is just so that you can feel the sweetness. But it's more than feeling. There's an empowerment that the Lord wants to give to you. The second thing is, you've heard that if you receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, that you receive a prayer language. That's possible. Okay? But I don't think that's an indication that you, it's an indication you have a gift of a prayer language, but it's not an indication that you have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And the reason I say this, and you can think back in your own head, there are people who have the gift of speaking, of having a prayer language, but yet they don't have the power to live a godly life. Right? And so I would say that the prayer language could be an indication, but that's not the indication. The indication is that you have the power to live a godly life. And you have the power to do the things that God has told you and commanded you to do. The third thing we need to do is ask. Do you have a compassion for people? Do you want to bless people? Bring glory to God? If that's your motive, then you are very close to getting the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, Jesus shares a parable that's directly tied to the ability to receive the new supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 13, it says, then teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, want to borrow 3 loaves of bread, and you say to him, friend, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit. I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door's locked for the night. My family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this. If you keep asking, if you keep bugging him, and if you don't let him alone, pretty soon he's going to get out of bed. And he's going to say, here, take this and leave me alone. And he said, it was on to say. So I tell you, keep on asking, you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receive. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask for fish, you give him a snake instead. Or if you ask for an egg, do you give him a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So you need to ask. You need to ask urgently. You need to seek diligently. And you need to knock repeatedly. Scripture says, Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask, who keep on asking. Who seek and keep on seeking. Who knock and keep on knocking. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want to live a godly life? How bad do you want to live a righteous life? How bad do you want to overcome sinful patterns of your life? As we practice listening to the Spirit, trusting in His Word, doing what He tells us for the glory of God, we will grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. We will grow in the power of the Spirit. When we don't listen to the Holy Spirit and seek His direction and act in faith, then we will never experience the power of the Spirit. Does that make sense? If you have questions, put it on your communication card. I do believe that a person who, let's just say at one time, was empowered by the Spirit, listening to the Spirit, following the Spirit, being obedient to the Spirit, if they slack off, their power is going to diminish as well. I think it has to be something that we diligently seek for, we diligently ask for, we diligently knock on heaven's gates to receive. You cannot live a Christian life without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We can all do good things, but non-believers do good things, right? You can give blood to Red Cross. You can feed the hungry. You do a lot of good things, but so do non-believers. So what we're talking about is something beyond what non-believers do. So I'm going to leave you with it. I've got some questions. The first question is, do you have a daily desire to please the Lord? The second question, do you know for sure you're a child of God? You've been sealed. You've been indwelled with the Holy Spirit. Third thing, have there been changes in your life in attitude, action, thought, word and deed since receiving Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. Fourth thing. Do you have a desire to follow Christ but have no power to fight against temptations? You can't seem to get a grip on your thought life, your behavior, or your mouth. Are you willing to listen to what the Holy Spirit tells you? Will you believe what the Word of the Spirit says to you, the Word and the Spirit? And will you do what the Spirit tells you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, but I do want to pray for you. And did you know that God, there's been times that I knew God wanted me to do something, and I didn't want to do it. And I've prayed this prayer, Lord, I'm willing to be made willing. I'm willing to be made willing. And maybe that's where you are today. Maybe the Lord is, the Holy Spirit is pressing on your heart, and you know there's some things that you need to do, and you're just not quite there yet. Would you just pray that prayer, I'm willing to be made willing. If you're here today and you don't have, you know for sure that you're not a child of God, but you would like to be, would you just raise your hand? I won't embarrass you. I will pray for you. Anyone here? Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Second question. You know for sure you are a child of God, but you do not have the power to live a Christ-like life. Can I see your hands? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay. Anyone else? Lord, first I want to pray for the individual who raised their hand concerning their relationship with you. And Lord, I just ask that you would be with this person. God, you're working in their life and working in the situation, and just ask God that you would continue to call them to yourself. Lord, you said today is the day of salvation. Today, we can turn from sin. Today, we can receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, but it's through total faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And so, Lord, I pray for this individual that before they leave today, they would get that situation, their heart right with you. Lord, I know that this world has a lot of pull on our lives. But God, you told us to forsake the world and trust in Jesus. And so I'm asking you to minister to this individual. Lord, for those who are believers but don't have the power to live a Christian life, I'm going to ask you, Lord, to be with them today. And Lord, help them to receive supernaturally the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. God, the confessing sin, turning from sin, cleansing their heart, cleansing their temple. And Lord, that they would experience you in a whole new way. They would work with you. They would address whatever issues. Lord, we give you the praise, and the glory, and the honor. Lord, demonstrate your presence. Demonstrate your power. In Jesus' holy name. Amen.